If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah. That narrowed it down, didn't it? Jeremiah 28. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 17, Jeremiah 28. The last we saw was Jeremiah had a yoke around his neck, which is an instrument that tied two animals together in order to pull a plow or pull something, plain old ordinary. Now for about 5 months, he's been carrying this thing around his neck, and that's where we take up here. I'd like to toss out a couple things. First of all, continue to pray for Samantha Prinky. She's the one that we asked prayer for last week. She had a stroke with a paralysis on the one side, and she has her eyes open, and her mind is clear, and she's able to communicate, and she's going to be going to Mercy next week. Also, on Tuesday night, Brian Gieseman, he and Sam and Greg O'Wade, they had a chance to go to, it's called Dream Life in Rehabilitation up by Donegal. He was asked to go a couple weeks ago, and so then this last week he brought someone else. And the first week he was there, there was one person that came to know Christ, and then last Tuesday there were seven. So for those who went, it was a blessing, and it was good, and continue to pray. So in Jeremiah 28, like I said, several months has passed, and now there's a false prophet that comes on the scene. His name is Hananiah, and that's where he takes it up. When we come to, I was going to call this message fake news, but I thought that but I thought it'd be too appropriate for the time in which we live. Joseph Goebbels, he was the Hitler's propaganda minister. He said, "Now, if you tell a lie large enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it." Listen to what he said, and then we begin to see what's happening within our society. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. We see this in our, what we call fake news today. I didn't know what fake news was until President Trump made it extremely popular. But then I began to see it. The Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a good example. I mean, it's like things are terrible at the border and the kids are in cages and kids are starving to death and they're drinking water out of a toilet. Well, what they don't tell you, though, is that there's a toilet in the front, and there's a water in the. There is a faucet in the back, and they have a sink there, and that's how they get water, and they do it to make it so that everyone does get water, and all of that little thing is left out. And so, also, what you need to do is to show children in cages until you talk to the border patrols or until you talk to the people that are there. But you just make it up and keep saying it. Another thing that we've had for the last few years is. Trump's collusion with Russia. Now you know that they've changed it now to where we have Russia interfered with our election. That was true. Now within the four investigations of President Trump, none of them ever showed that he had collusion with Russia. But now he has obstruction. So if you don't have collusion, how do you have obstruction? Now you keep saying it long enough, and people will begin to believe it. There must be some truth in it, or guess what? They wouldn't keep saying it, but they keep saying it, and they keep saying it. And you make it large enough and long enough, and eventually people begin to believe it. We have something even more serious that goes along with this, and that is that we have set aside the Word of God as the absolute authority and the absolute truth that we have. Now, whenever you set aside absolute truth and the authority for absolute truth, then you have to come up with your own idea of truth of whatever it is. And so whenever you come to, for instance, Redbook did a survey several years ago about future ministers within seminaries. And here are some of the results. 56% of those within seminary rejected the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. 71% rejected that there was life after death. 54% rejected the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, and 98% rejected that there would be a personal return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Now you begin to understand why the churches within America believe what they do, because that's what they're being taught from their pulpit. And we have a strange thing. A fellow named Dr. Charles Templeton. I can relate to Charles Templeton because in the 30s to the 50s, not that I was around in the 30s to the 50s, but at least part of that time. He was a famous evangelist. He was a graduate of Princeton. Isn't it funny? He started out as making comics and comic strips, and so it's no wonder he turned into a preacher. But anyway, what had happened though is that he was with Billy Graham in the early 1950s and the late 1940s with Youth for Christ. My father was a Youth for Christ director when he first came to know Christ and as he started into the ministry. And so he met Charles Templeton and he also met Billy Graham because they had something to do with this thing called Youth for Christ, and they were both at Winona Lake. And my wife, she was raised about 5 miles from Winona Lake. So there's a lot of connection. So I began to read about Charles Templeton, but by the late 50s, he had become an agnostic. He'd given up all of his faith and given up all of his identity. And he wrote his last book that he wrote was in 1998, and it was called Farewell to God. Interesting thing with him, in 2001, he died an agnostic with Alzheimer's. But it's really strange. How in the world can you preach to 40,000 people, give invitations, and do all those kind of things, and line up and then totally reject your faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God? You see, when we're confronted with the truth, we either accept it and apply it to our life, or we have to come up with our own form of truth, of which is not truth at all. And that's exactly what happens when you come to, the reason I called it fake news, that's exactly what's happening whenever you come to Jeremiah chapter 28. And Jeremiah, have you been confronted with truth, and are you coming up with your own form of truth? Notice the reaction to this truth in verses 1 to 4. He says, and it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah. By the way, the Jewish mind and the Hebrew thinking, they divided into just two basic forms, 6 month period. So whenever it says the beginning, this is within the first one half of his reign. And so it says, and in the fifth month, Hananiah the son of Azurah. He is the prophet who was of Gibeon. And he spoke unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon, and within 2 full years will I bring again into this place the vessels of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them into Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Let me tell you, if you're going to begin to spread fake news, we need to see what happens. Notice the direction. We need to get someone with some authority, and give it exposure, and then you say it with confidence, and you say it long enough, and you say it loud enough, and people will begin to believe it. So notice what this Hananiah does. He gets the priest, and he gets the people, and he gets them at the temple. He gets them all together, and then he begins to say to them. See, notice what he's the right person because he's regarded as the prophet. He has the right publicity. He has all these people. He has the right exposure. He has everything that he possibly needs in order to spread his fake news to the nation of Israel. It's interesting what he does, because notice what Jeremiah just said in 27. Here this guy is walking around with a yoke around his neck, and he's done it now for 5 months. Let me tell you, a guy with a yoke around his neck for 5 months becomes a spectacle. You can hardly get away with it. You can't get away from it. Then here comes, and what is he just, it's going to be 70 years. Jeremiah has just said 70 years. And this is what God says. Here comes a fellow along named Hananiah. He says, oh, wait a minute. This guy is wrong. Because notice what he takes his place and he begins to speak it. Then notice the directive. I love this. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. See, what's your authority? By what authority do you say these things? It's interesting in the United States that we have to go back to an authority. What's our authority? We are a constitutional republic. You have to go back to the Constitution. If you bypass the Constitution, you'll have no authority. And so what has happened is that, for instance, like the idea with open borders. That sounds great, except it does away with your idea of a country. What does the Constitution say? What does the law say? And I think there, once again, what's your authority? And I love this. I love this. Because notice what he says his authority is. Thus says the Lord of hosts, and the Lord of hosts spoke to me. Notice back in chapter 27. It's interesting. Notice what Jeremiah says, verse 2, and in verse 4, and in verse 8. In chapter 27, he says, the Lord saying, thus saith the Lord unto me, verse 4. And thus says the Lord God of hosts, verse 4. Verse 2, then verse 4. Then you notice in verse 8, what does he say in verse 8? Saith the Lord. Then you're going to notice in verse 11, it says, the Lord spoke, saith the Lord. And then you're going to notice in verse 15, 16, 18, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. It's interesting. See, you have to come up with not only your own form of truth, but people can say anything that they want. They can make the Bible say anything that they want that promotes their belief system. It's amazing how many people are bringing up Jesus and compassion down on the border. They don't care what Jesus thinks. They don't care what the Bible thinks. But just bring the Bible into it, especially into America. I love the thing with the gay and the lesbian and the homosexual idea. Well, God made me this way. Of all the time in their life, they're bringing God into it. They don't care anything about God. And so what happens is that, do you know that people can make the Bible say just about anything they want in order to promote their idea and agenda? That's exactly what this guy's doing. The Lord said, I'm a prophet. And the Lord said, let me tell you, you're going to sit up and take notice because you just did so when it came to this man named Jeremiah. But notice in verse 2, the second part, notice his denial. He says, I have broken and I will break. You come up with your form of truth. It's just the opposite of what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah puts a yoke on. He says, wait a minute. You're going to be under the yoke of bondage of Babylon. Not only you, but all the nations around about it. That's what God says. That's what's going to happen. And so what happens here, there once again, what we have is that your truth and authority are, let me tell you, we need to be grounded as far as believers. We need to be grounded in what the Word of God says. What's our authority? What does the Bible say? What did Jeremiah really say? And Jeremiah was the man of God. Hananiah was a false prophet. So it's like this. When it comes to a nation, we better be a constitutionalist as a nation, and because what does the Constitution say? You better have some pre-court justices that interprets according to the Constitution. Constitution, not according to the will of the people or whatever the majority says. But what about believers? What about believers with all the stuff that's being tossed out today? What's your authority? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you allow the Word of God to be your guide and your compass and your roadmap when it comes to life and when it comes to living? If not, guess what? You're going to be open for all the false stuff that's out there. And believe me, there's a lot of it. We need to get to the place that did you ever notice that the cults that really make it, how closely related they are to the real thing? Like within the Mormon church. I mean, it's like, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Oh, and the Word was a God. He wasn't the God, he's a God. Only thing you have to do is just change it around a little bit. But what does the Bible say? And we need to get back there once again to what's your authority and what's your guideline, what you're going to believe. But here's the other interesting thing. Notice the distortion of the Word of God when it comes to verse 3 and 4. Within 2 full years, I will bring again this place. I'm going to bring back all the vessels of the Lord's house, and I'm going to bring back Jeconiah. Why in the world would people believe it? Because let me tell you, when you want something bad enough, you'll believe anything. If you want it bad enough, you'll believe it. They wanted to believe that it was going to be 2 years. They wanted to believe that everything's going to be wonderful. Do you want it bad enough? if I can toss out anything, let me tell you, I have the cure of cancer. May not be so. I saw a fellow the other day on television. It's interesting. He was healing everybody and his sister. The doctor told this lady that she was going to die of cancer because she was in stage four. It was fast moving. There's nothing you could do. There was a man up there in the front, laid hands on her, and he says, "Guess what? You're not going to die of cancer. It's a lie." How does he know that? Where'd he get that idea? And I think there once again, I think that, let me tell you what, that lady believed it. Her family believed it. Why? Because they wanted to believe it. And what will happen is within our society, you can say just about anything. If you want to believe it bad enough, it will happen. But what happens is once you begin to deny and distort the basic message, you can do anything. And I think that once again, notice the destruction. Here's the interesting thing. You know what happens in verse 10 and 11? Then Hananiah, the prophet, he took the yoke off of the prophet Jeremiah's neck, and guess what? He broke it. And then in verse 11, and Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah just walked away. It's interesting that if you say something not only loud enough and long enough, but then guess what? Get loud and begin to get demonstrative. I mean, stick that thing on YouTube and begin to cry. Oh, no! It makes it so. But emotion doesn't change the truth. Emotionalism doesn't take the truth. And I mean, grab that sucker and break it. I'll tell you, we need to do something. I'll tell you what we need to do if we're having global warming. We need to have a bunch of little kids that are somewhere between 10 and 12 years of age stand before Congress and say, guess what? You're not leaving us in a nation. Everything is bad. Oh, no. And then you need a congressperson come up and say, 12 years. Guess what? At my age, I've seen a whole lot of prophecies come and go. They also failed to realize that when I was younger, now I'm older. At one time we were having global freezing, and it was so stinking cold that the pipes and everything was freezing, and we're having snow. We moved to Indiana, the state, not the city, but we moved to the state of Indiana, and we had snow that was up to our, I was going to say awning, but it was up to the top of our porch. I mean, this thing was 7 feet of snow, and it's like, whoa. We must really be having global freezing. Nah, it's called weather. And so that's what happened. And we remember when it's hot, you remember when it's cold. But let me tell you, you get emotional about these things, and you begin to repeat. Then you repeat your point over and over, because he says in verse 11, let me tell you, I told you it's going to be 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. Now listen. And that's what happens. Repeat your point over and over again, convince as many as possible, because the majority rules. The problem is that they're wrong. We've done this within America with abortion. We've come to the place that we had Roe versus Wade in 1972, and when they started out with Roe versus Wade in 1972, they never thought that they would come to the place that a baby could come into the world and now decide whether that baby's going to live or die. It's not called abortion, it's called infanticide, but now it's called abortion. Also, who would ever thought that abortion becomes a health issue? And now we're going to make it a health issue. And so it's like chicken pox and mumps and measles, and now we have a baby growing. So what are we going to do? We've come up with this other thing of transgender. And so it's an amazing thing that we can do if we just keep saying something over and over. In other words, if you look in the mirror and you have all the equipment and you say, I feel like I'm a girl, well, then I must be a girl. But it doesn't make it right. So we need to really make a demonstration. We need to march, and we need to have a gay pride. And we'll have, by the way, it was just last week. We had Gay Pride Week, for those of you that missed it. And wherever you have a rainbow doesn't mean a rainbow anymore. Now it means something else. So what you want to do is you want to make a demonstration. You want to make it loud. You want as many people as possible. And if the majority of people can get to the place that they agree with it, then it must be right. But what's your authority? And I think that what we've done the same thing with so many things. It's like with evolution. How in the world did evolution ever get to the place it was such a place of prominence? It's because it's taught everywhere as being fact. And you say it loud enough and long enough and become demonstrative enough, and it must be true. Fact is, if you want to believe in global warming, you can go down to the Carnegie Museum, and guess what? It'll show you there that no doubt we are right. We are within global warming. It's flat happening, and it's man-made and it's man-caused. And no one says that China right now is kicking 7 times the amount of pollutants into the air as what America is, but nobody mentions that. No one is saying that the magnetic fields are losing about 5% every 100 years, and so guess what? And perhaps with the collapse of the magnetic fields, by the way, produce a shield around the outside of the world, and as it produces a shield, it stops the ultraviolet rays, and it stops the sun energy, and makes it possible for us to live. You mean it may be that? What about sun activity? Do you realize? Are we having more or less sun flares than we did? You mean it may not be just man-made? Maybe not. Do you realize that when I was in California and 20 to 30 years ago, there was about 25,000 acres that would be burnt. Now there's over 600,000 acres that's being burnt on a regular basis. Well, did you ever stop to think with all that carbon kicked into the air that just perhaps it's having something to do with more carbon rather than just my automobile that has a muffler on it that supposedly stops it all? But I think that what we do, though, is like I say, something loud enough and long enough. Now, here's where we get down. Now, say something loud enough that there is no such thing as a virgin birth. That Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. That Jesus Christ was nothing more than a man. Now say it loud enough and long enough, and what we really need to do is stick it on Google. And if it gets on Google, it has to be true. And so the Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible doesn't even contain the Word of God. It's a manufacture of a bunch of men over a long period of time. Say it loud enough and long enough and get a big enough exposure, and you'll believe it. Now, here's the other strange thing. We haven't also, for those of you that were born before after 1985, I'll give you a little bit of break. I'll go up to 1990 just to cut some people here a slack because I know that they're now closer to 35 than 30. But you realize that I was listening last week that 92% do not get their news from television nor from newspapers. 92% get their message from social media. Twitter, Facebook. We're turning out a brilliant bunch of people, by the way. I'm just saying, can you imagine what's going to happen within our churches and within everything when everything is taken over by social media? And guess what? The only thing you have to do is stick it out there loud enough and long enough and have enough people hit. Do you realize it had 2.99 million hits? Wow, it must be true. Or it must be the biggest lie going. But we never think of that. And so we say something loud enough and long enough, and we think it's going to be true. The problem is that this false truth will kill us. Notice verse 15 to 17. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. Thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die. Because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Wow. What happens is there once again. So often we want to believe something. And guess what, Chuck Templeton? Payday's coming someday and it's not going to be in 2001. One day we're going to stand before a living God. One day we're going to give an account. But I think that once again, I think that what we need to do as a group of people, what's your authority? We need to get back to the Word of God. Now, here's what happens. You're going to notice the response to the truth because Jeremiah gives you a response in verses 5 through 9 and in verse 11 to 14. What do you do when someone rejects truth? You'll find this whenever you're sharing your faith. that God loves you and Christ died for you and you need to receive him. And they reject it. Notice the first thing that Jeremiah does, he prays. He says in verse 8, he says, amen. Now, I love the amen because I was taking it facetiously. Some feel that he was sarcastic, but he says even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. So what is he saying then? I wish that what you're saying is true. I wish that we would come back in 2 years. But we won't. With me, I wish there was no such thing as hell. I wish that were true. Amen. I wish there was no such thing as an eternal judgment and damnation. But there is. Amen. I wish that you didn't have to give an account before a living God, but you do. I wish that many of the things that you have to preach from the pulpit and preach from the Word of God were not true, but they are. I wish it were so that Jesus Christ is not coming back, but he is. I wish that there wasn't just one way to heaven. I wish that anyone that was sincere would make it and go to heaven, but it's not true. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. I wish that everything that the person believes, I wish that when they put you in the ground that you're gone, there's no eternity, there's no nothing, and when you're dead and your life is over. I wish that were so because guess what? That's a belief of many people that we have in America. And saying it loud enough and long enough, you can say that the Bible is not the Word of God. You say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. But it doesn't change the fact that the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I wished it were true, but it's not. And just because someone else believes it, and just because you say it loud enough and long enough and become demonstrative doesn't make it so. We need to get back to the authority of the Word of God. Then notice patience. No sooner does Jeremiah praise, he says in verse 7, 9, nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your ear and in the ear of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against the great kingdoms, and of wars, and of evil, and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then we'll know whether or not it's true. It's an interesting thing. Just wait and see. Wait and see. Here's my question. When it comes to the Word of God, just wait and see. Now, the interesting thing that you have here is just patience. Whenever we have a philosophy that's going forth, it doesn't matter what it is, just wait and see. Just take a look. When it comes to the history of humanism, just look at where it's gotten us as a country. When you leave God out of anything and everything, just take a look. And what do you get? Whenever it comes to liberalism, that the Bible's not the Word of God, Jesus isn't the Son of God, take a look at where it has gotten us. The other thing is that right now, what about the history of communism. We're completely missing the history of communism because there is a party right now that is pushing socialism to the point of communism. Does it work? Where does it lead you? And they'll say, well, take a look at Sweden, and take a look at Venezuela. But I think that one of the things we need to take a look at where it's going. The question that you have is that right now, for instance, do you trust the government? No one trusts the government. Now, I have a great idea. If you don't trust the government, now let's give everything to them. Well, that's what they're saying. The people don't trust the government, so now let's control everything. Well, that doesn't make any sense. But here's what you have to see is that once my question. What about your belief system? Is it founded on truth? And the question that you have, does it produce peace? You see, any of the prophets of old can prophesy war, because guess what? That's typically within man's heart. But what about peace? Can he produce peace within 2 years? Let's just wait and see. The question that I always have there, once again, is a peace that is rare within human beings, but here's the question that I have. What about your belief system? Well, I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, you don't. Does it produce peace? I don't believe there is such a thing as a hell. Does it produce peace? I don't believe. Does it produce peace? He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and you'll find rest. The amazing thing is that when I heard that those seven people had received Jesus Christ and made a profession of faith, one of the things that they will have nearly immediately is peace. They will have peace with God. And it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it produce? Take a look at the religions of the world. Take a look at the religions that you have within our own society. Take a look at the religion of humanism, in which man is God. And where has that gotten us? Once you leave out Jesus Christ, you see, I'm here to get to know God. And one of the things that happens when I get to know God is he produces this thing called peace. What's the result? And here's the thing that I miss. When I'm talking to someone about their relationship to Jesus Christ, I usually ask, and they say, I don't know if I can buy this. I said, I'll ask you one question. What if I'm right and you're wrong? What if Jesus is the only way to God? But let's look at it another way. What if you're right and I'm wrong? Do you realize I don't have anything to lose? I don't have anything to lose. And I not only have peace, I have direction, I have purpose, and I have a reason for being alive. And guess what? If I'm right and you're wrong, you have an eternity that you're going to be separated from Jesus Christ. Eternity separated from the heart of God. Eternity accepted. But what happens if... And do you realize that if I were not a believer and not a Christian, I still would like to live by biblical principles, because that's the most fantastic way to live that any man has ever produced. It's absolutely amazing. But what happens... I don't understand the gospel at all, but I'll tell you one thing. I can show you person after person that's come to know Jesus Christ. It's literally changed their life. That God loves you and Christ died for you. And if I receive him as Savior and Lord by a personal invitation, he says, I'll come in. And that person's life has been changed. If I would just go around the congregation and have people give their testimonies, it's amazing as to what happened. Look at the result. Look at the result of a belief system. Look at the result of the direction that you have, and God gives peace. The other thing he says, the prophets, they went their way. It's interesting here, it says, and Jeremiah went his way. There's sometimes it's better just to keep your mouth shut, not say anything. Sometimes whenever people want to argue and want to fuss and want to just walk away. I'm not going to get started on it. But then notice the proclamation. What happens is that he didn't defend himself. He didn't stick up for his rights. But guess what happened next? In verses 12 to 14, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet. Hananiah, the prophet, broke the yoke off his neck. Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thou hast broken the yoke, but let me tell you, it's going to be a yoke of iron. You won't be able to break it. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations. See, in other words, no matter what you say, God's word is going to prevail. God's word is going to come through. And then notice the punishment that you see in verse 15 to 17. Seems like Hananiah has gone to him privately and he says, let me tell you what? What you're teaching is a lie. You've taught rebellion against God and you're going to die. And what I like, do you know what he said? Verse 17, he died. I know one thing, that what you can do is that you can take the word of God. In the world in which we live, we're going to be confronted all the time with fake news. Oh, and by the way, I want you to come back next week, because you've had 28 chapters of Debbie Downer. But when you come to chapter 29, he says, I'm going to tell you the plan that I have for you, and it will astound you. So in the midst of all the negativism and in the midst of the world in which we live, We're going to get back to the positive of, let me tell you, God will take those things that Satan means for evil and he'll turn them into good. And God will take all the lies, and guess what? His word is true. It's going to be 70 years. You can just bank on it. But then he says, I've got something in mind for you. It's not over. And to me, what's so encouraging is that God, he wants to tell you and he wants to tell me, it's not over. And what God said is true. And let me tell you, you can bank on it. You can go throughout all eternity with what God has said. So in the midst of all this fake news, we as a nation need to get back to the constitutional republic that we were founded upon, what made America great to begin with. But the other side of it, we as believers need to get back to the word of God, because let me tell you, even a constitutional republic will fail, but God's word won't. And I need to get back to the place that I have something, some authority on which to live, and some authority that gives me direction. And it's nothing other than the word of God. And that's what we can bank on. We have something else that we can bank on once a quarter. We have what's called communion. Communion is open communion. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can feel free to take it. It reminds us of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also his body that was broken for us, his blood that poured out. And guess